From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 6, 2009. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to location technologies, including GIS, GPS, and others without acronyms. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor at Directions Media in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
With the new year 5 days old and economic challenges expected for every sector, this week we explore four big challenges and opportunities for those in geospatial technology. In particular, how U.S. investments in infrastructure may propel geotechnologies, how the marketing of geotechnologies is mandatory in tough times, the growth or contraction of location-based services, and finally, the renewed interest and opportunity in openness. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Now, Joe, I understand that Bob Zamborski at GITA was exploring how President-elect Obama's vision for investment in infrastructure may have some implications for geospatial technology.
Bob Zamborski, the executive director of the GITA, Geospatial Information and Technology Association, commented in our Friends of Directions article that was the top story in Monday of Directions magazine. He was looking at the infrastructure investment that President-elect Obama has been looking at committing, somewhere in the order of $300 to $400 billion in infrastructure, an Eisenhower-like interstate project to really jumpstart the economy. And what he was saying was essentially that amount of money, and I'm quoting here, funneling into the infrastructure, there will be competition. These headlines are a call to action for user organizations to build solid business cases for geospatial technology and show how geographic information systems and other solutions can enable significant cost-effective progress. So what we're essentially seeing here is that what he thinks is there's going to be a huge economic hit, of course, to the economy, but that the infrastructure part of it and how geospatial technology will contribute to raising up the economy and certainly contributing to the bottom lines of some of our some of the geospatial vendors will really get things going. And it makes a lot of sense that that this type of an investment will only spur more interest in geospatial technology applications. So we're going to watch, I think, what exactly happens with these stimulus packages that are coming down from the new administration and what will be the impact to our technology sector.
I guess my question in regard to this is, first of all, hasn't geotechnology already made its way into infrastructure in a big way? I mean, certainly departments of transportation are all using GIS, and we're seeing it more and more as we get into planning and its connection to BIM and so forth. So, first of all, are there places where it isn't yet that it needs to go?
No, I think it is in the places where it needs to go. I think that this particular stimulus package has got a trickle-down effect, which is the whole objective of the stimulus package, which is, and this has been pointed out by GATA, that the kind of the crumbling infrastructure that we see, the lack of attention to bridges that are kind of on the edge of being taken out of service just because they haven't been rebuilt in some respects, and the road infrastructure, either new roads or repaving existing roads, is something that needs to be done. So the additional money coming into the economy through this will probably spur either architecture and engineering firms to invest more in geospatial software solutions, thus bolstering what we see in our technology sector.
Let me put it this way. In the same way that we're going to be upgrading our infrastructure, we're going to be upgrading our technology infrastructure to manage our physical infrastructure.
Well, anybody who's been sitting on the sidelines and not going to the next rev of software may take this opportunity to do that if they see additional money falling in. And I'll comment on one of our other Friends of Directions, people who decided to write to us, Stephen Ramage, Business Development Director for iSpatial. He kind of turned our question on its head and saying, not what's going to happen, but how can you make the best use of our investment in geospatial software and training, the things that you've already got? And I think that's what you're pointing at is, you've already got this technology. Now, how can you take more advantage of it? And maybe what that means is that people who are on kind of the edge of getting into some of these infrastructure projects may now leverage some of the expertise in-house, maybe thinking about developing different business models if they're not currently doing infrastructure projects. But not just roads and bridges. I think there's applications in utility infrastructure and telecommunications, which I think we don't immediately see, but I think that's also one of those trickle-down types of projects which might be implemented by the stimulus package.
Okay, I want to move on to something that I think is going to be a real challenge as we move further into 2009, and that's this whole issue of marketing during hard times. And what commonly happens when money gets short and the economy turns is that the marketing folks are the first to go. And it sounds like a logical move, the logic being, well, we need the folks to build the stuff, to write the code, to build the widgets, if that's what you sell, and we need the people to sell the code or sell the widgets. But those people in marketing, you know, they don't do either of those two important things. And some may even think that marketing is sort of a luxury. What people forget is that what marketing is the creation of the demand. Sales is the fulfillment of that demand. So, therefore, if you have no marketing and you have no demand, you're going to have no sales, and then you can't pay the guys who write the code. So it's sort of the beginning of a spiral to the bottom if you completely stop doing any marketing. With regard to marketing, and again, and I think we forget this, is that marketing is a conversation. And that's one of the best pieces of news for people looking at marketing in these challenging times, because we have so many more new tools to have conversations about products and services. And of course, what I'm referring to is social media. Now, let me stop right there and say, I am not part of the sales team of Directions Media. That's something that you, Joe, have given me the privilege of not being involved with. So I'm not saying send us money. There are many, many ways for you to keep your company, your product, your presence out in the world without spending much or even any money. My thoughts as we move forward is, if you've got a marketing firm, an in-house marketing person, a consultant, keep them and have them work smarter, in a sense what we were just talking about, which is take what you've got and use it better. If you haven't been doing any marketing and have been getting along okay, that's not likely to continue to happen, so you better start doing something.
So let me take my vice publisher hat and put it on for a second, and not trying to convince people to advertise, but people have come to me and said, how do you use social media? There's two aspects I want to bring up, one of which is when I market us as a product, I tell people that one of the reasons we are successful is that we have a continual, pervasive contact with our customers. And that's, at the bottom line, it's our readers. The readers increase our web traffic. Web traffic is seen by our advertisers. Unless you are ready to have that continual, pervasive contact and use some of the free tools that are out there, you're not going to be as successful as you could be. And as you said, things like blogging or using Twitter or whatever are out there. The second thing is, if you do go down this path, make sure you can make it a regular conversation. Put a person on it and make sure that they're going to do it every day or every other day, or else it goes away and people stop listening to you.
Part of what's fueling my choice of this particular topic is that several geospatial companies, or more correctly, several companies that have geospatial divisions or departments, it seems to me, are already dark. They were dark before the economy started to turn, and we were scratching our heads saying, gee, we haven't heard from these folks. If we're not thinking about them, then clearly the folks who are going to be potentially buying their solutions are also not thinking about them. Don't wait till things get really, really dark. Start shining that light on yourself and start having that continual conversation with your existing users and your potential users. And I've got in the show notes a couple of my favorite marketing blogs and podcasts as a starting point. Another challenge/opportunity part of our environment is location-based services. Joe, what should we be thinking about as we move into 2009 with regard to LBS?
There's a lot going on, and one of the things that I did, I bought a BlackBerry Storm, and the reason I did it was to take advantage of some of the location-based services that are out there. You know, I've had some strong opinions on the iPhone as well, I chose a BlackBerry simply because it's a better business tool at this point. I also want to go to a comment made by one of our other friends of Directions, Craig Harper of Apisphere. And he had an interesting comment. He says, they've coined the term location smart messaging to describe a new generation of mobile applications that will expand the real-time relevant connections and communications between friends, family, and coworkers. I think that this will be the start of having more of these tools in your hands, whether it's an iPhone or a Storm or an LG, that as we begin to use them and use them more smartly, that this will filter out some of the existing business models for LBS. But it will also spur the location-based advertising, other services. Because of just the pure volume of apps that are out there in the iPhone store, we're going to see a shakeout really soon as people begin to find what they like and what they don't like. As bad as the economy seems, I think LBS is still on the upswing.
I think you're right. We really are at that shakeout point. And I just read yesterday, I think, about one of the first companies that is putting together an advertising platform built on location, and they have officially shut down. They opened, I think, in summer of 2008, already gone. So the shakeout has begun, and now you can't keep up day-to-day with the latest app for an Android phone or an iPhone or any of the other platforms. To me, just looking at them, there's just a whole bunch of them that all sound the same. And who knows who's going to win, as they start shaking out. But I think we're going to see more and more of those things closing, even as other ones are just launching. I mean, remember, these platforms are still, the iPhone platform is still relatively new, and Android is even newer.
There will be a shakeout in platforms as well. My problem, for example, with the Storm and both ease of use and pure weight, it's a heavy device. It's not like my smaller cell phone that I used to have. So you got to be able to evaluate the platform, the handset itself, form factor, as well as what are the applications that are going to be developed. So I'm waiting for the BlackBerry store specifically for the Storm to open up, which I believe is in March.
One more question as we talk about LBS is, what, if anything, is that going to do for the core geospatial technologies for GIS, for things like an ArcGIS server where there's all this power to do some really amazing things? And we're not really yet seeing those kinds of things as part of location-based services.
I think they're going to be there, and I think that it's going to be impinging upon the geospatial solution providers to make them work with the handsets that are out there. I mean, the processors that are in these handsets are pretty powerful. I mean, just downloading Google Maps onto the Storm, it's pretty fast. Both the 3G connection and the processor in these devices are very fast, and I think we'll be able to accommodate some of the mobile applications that an Esri or MapInfo might have.
The challenge, I think, as we move forward is which kinds of applications that need that kind of back-end power are going to be appropriate and are going to be in demand on these new handsets.
Yeah, well, we've already seen some of that with mobile services management, logistics and transportation. They're already using these types of platforms. It may be that there will be more sophisticated apps that will move to the mobile handsets just because the power is in them now. So whereas before they're using them for basic routing and uploading of work orders, maybe there are other apps that will come to light that we'll see.
Okay, so that's another real opportunity for the GIS market. Final challenge opportunity I want to look at as we head into 2009 has to do with the word open. And in my career, I've written a whole bunch of articles that try to help people sort out the term open, what it might mean, how sometimes it's abused. And I think as we head into 2009, we understand the term open more than we ever have. And I think that's a real opportunity. And let me just give you some of the ways that not necessarily technical people are understanding this issue of openness. One has to do with just the platforms, the iPhone and the Android phones. Everybody knows that if you buy an iPhone, you can only get apps from one place, from the App Store, and that Apple has to approve every single one of them. Android, you can get apps from anybody who wants to make one. Now, there's pros and cons to each of those methodologies, but one's open and one's not so open. you can tell that openness is becoming important in location-based services when a company like Verizon, for the first time, opens up its GPS for developers. Three of its platforms are currently open. They never were before. The folks at Sprint just entered an agreement to support platforms from uLocate, that's the Ware platform, and some tools from WaveMarket. Those are tools that could have opened things up a long time ago, but they're just getting around to it now. If we come back to GIS, there's a very interesting article just this weekend about incompatibility issues, non-interoperability of GIS and other data sources. There's a HopeWorks Camden put together a complaint map for the city where people could identify where there were issues in the city, potholes and whatnot. The challenge was there was no way to connect that up with the city's complaint tracking tools so that the map could then get updated when the complaints were in fact taken care of. That has to do with openness. We're talking more about the licensing of data. That's become a real issue. For example, if you are to take some ordnance survey data and use it to locate, say, the fire hydrants in your city, the ordnance survey actually owns that data. How open is the data, and how can you use it? That's another aspect of open that we're really banging our heads up against. And finally, open is often uniquely associated with the Open Geospatial Consortium. It need not be, but that's one aspect of it that is related. There's a new tool out called GeoWebCache that is specifically designed to work with WMS products. So this whole idea of open, I think, is really getting into the consciousness of technical folks and just regular consumers. And I think that's a huge opportunity.
I think what we're seeing is a natural progression and maturity of the industry, at least as it with respect to open source technology. We've seen that for the last couple of years in enterprise applications, things like CRM applications or BI applications like from Pentaho. These are the types of apps that people begin to build on. They're comfortable with using open source. You see it more in government RFPs about using open source technology. So it's now kind of ingrained that this is okay. It's not this type of community-sourced information or applications. People are more comfortable in implementing them. So I think what we're just seeing is a very natural progression as all of this open source information and applications mature.
Okay, well, I was very careful not to say open source. I just use the word open more broadly.
Well, but the implications are, you know, I know what you're saying, but I think many people take this, open source, open source application. So, but you're right in terms of, but we can also transition that discussion to just community sourced data, for example. I think that's what you were getting at.
No, actually, it wasn't what I was getting at all. I was talking about things like opening up to more platforms like Verizon did. I mean, there's nothing open source about what uLocate and WaveMarket do.
Right.
It just enables, it opens up the opportunity to more developers. So that's open in yet another way. And that's, again, why I sort of pick on that word, is it's so widely used. I think what I would do is take what you said about we've got a comfort level with open, and used in its broadest sense, and all the different meanings. I go further. We're starting to demand. We want things to be more open. I don't think it was just Sprint saying, oh, gee, gosh, you know, we should open up to these new platforms. They need to make more money, and the way to do that is to open things up. I think Google, when it built an open source platform, Android, and opened up development to anybody without any hoops to jump through, they said, this is going to be the best way for us to make money and to take full advantage of what we as Google want to do for the bigger world. So it's becoming an imperative as opposed to just a nice to have. And that's why I think why some people are specifically not choosing the iPhone, for example, because they want to take advantage of that. So I think that's going to be a real key thing. And you're right, open source definitely has made some ground. The interest in open source in the geospatial community is certainly growing. I hear more students talking about how they want to get involved in it. They want to have some experience with open source before they get out into the world. I think open is going to have it's going to be a big year for open, especially in light of the current economic situation. That's all the time we have today. But before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, We'd like you to know that the ESRI California, Hawaii, Nevada Regional User Conference will be held February 3rd through the 5th in Sacramento, California. Come and network with GIS users from the region, meet with ESRI staff, and attend valuable sessions. Standard registration ends January 30th. For more information or to register, visit www.esri.com/CAHINVRUG. If you'd like to contact us about today's topic or any podcast topic of the past, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.